WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Artie Shaw was one of the stars of the swing era and one of the esteemed jazz clarinetists from the late 1930s until he retired from music in 1954 to write fiction and his memoirs. He's now 91 years old. Shaw recently edited a 5-CD box set of his own music, drawing on commercial and private, studio and live recordings. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead likes it a lot, but says it also reveals much about the many contradictions behind Shaw's career.
That's Artie Shaw's theme song. For promotional reasons, every swing band leader had one, but it was typical Shaw to make his theme a downer called Nightmare. Artie Shaw is one of the most conflicted jazz heroes. By his own account, he hated the glittery distractions of show business, yet he still managed to marry Ava Gardner and Lana Turner. His bands didn't last either. He was always breaking one up only to dive into another, full of renewed hope. But in any setting, he was an excellent clarinet player, with daring ideas and a full sound in the high and low registers, a sound to beat rivals like Benny Goodman and Woody Herman. Artie Shaw's 1938 hit, Begin the Begin. Shaw hated having hits, because people then expected him to play them. But the anti-commercial Shaw had a curious weakness for strings, which pop arrangers used to sweeten up music for the Rubes. Between 1936 and 53, Shaw augmented his bands with anywhere from 4 to 17 strings, looking for the right balance. He had some success as early as 1940. On Lenny Hayton's arrangement of Temptation, 9 strings prove loud and supple enough to stand beside the band's horn sections. Artie Shaw also led stringless swing bands, well represented among the 95 tracks he picked for his 5-CD self-portrait. It also includes a few live rarities and appearances by hip singers like Hot Lips Page and Billie Holiday. There are always better and harder swinging big bands, but some of the weird stuff with strings wears well, or at least exerts some grotesque fascination. Coming to it out of context, you might wonder if it's meant as serious or satire.
Thank you.
That's from the fitfully entertaining Concerto for Clarinet of 1940. Bridging high and low culture and jumping between diverse styles from jazz to klezmer, Shaw anticipated John Zorn's postmodernism by half a century. Artie Shaw kept searching for an ideal setting. The irony was, he'd found it by 1940. Like Goodman and others, he started featuring a small band drawn from the ranks of the big one, the sextet Artie Shaw and his Gramercy Five. They had a pseudo-classical gimmick too. Johnny Guarneri played harpsichord, which shouldn't have worked, but did. Gramercy 5 with Billy Butterfield on trumpet. In the next version, without harpsichord, the trumpeter was the great Roy Eldridge. Shaw was fondest of a later 1954 version, to judge by how much space he allots it in his self-portrait. It was his last working band before his premature retirement. Clarinet was the only horn this time, and Shaw sounded more reflective and at peace than ever. Producer Orrin Keatnew says Artie Shaw's self-portrait may be the first time an artist selected and annotated a personal best drawn from all available recordings. Whether that's true or not, it's an idea other producers should have the good sense to steal, even if other artists don't make as judicious a selection as Artie Shaw has.
Kevin Whitehead reviewed the new box set, Artie Shaw Self-Portrait.